Welcome to Executive Leaders Radio, your spot in the corner office, the radio show where executives share their secrets to success. Executive Leaders Radio.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Rory O'Hara, Osperity, Jody Pillard, Weidenhammer, Andrew Plumley, Wisfis Bank, and Matthew Shapiro, Obermeyer, and Jim Wilson, Newmark. And Matthew, could you give us a rundown on who we have on the air today, please?
Sure, Ken. Herb, we're going to start with Michael Simpson. He's the managing partner of Brinker Simpson & Company. Then we'll talk with Ryan Eddington, the CEO of Allfill. We have Andrew Berg, the managing partner of Berg Advisors. And we'll be wrapping up today with Joe Massiangelo, who's the COO of Starlight.
Let's get to know our first guest, Michael Simpson, managing partner of Brinker Simpson. Michael, what is Brinker Simpson? What are you guys doing?
Brinker Simpson is an accounting firm in Delaware County. We partner up with our clients to help them become more successful.
Gotcha. And where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, where are you in the pecking order?
Grew up in Springfield, Delaware County. Mm-hmm. I have two older sisters and one younger sister.
Gotcha. 8 to 14, what kind of stuff were you up to as a kid?
8 to 14, I was mainly involved with sports in the area, whether it was organized or unorganized sports. Mm-hmm. And besides that, going to school and working on the side.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite subject in school?
I would say economics.
All righty. Jim, you want to give me a hand getting to know Michael, please?
Sure. Michael, two older sisters and a younger sister. Watching three very different personalities handle challenges, disagreements, and emotions, what did that teach you about people at a young age?
Yeah, that's a great question. It really helped me as I became a leader to understand not everybody handles things the same way, and people are different and have to be handled differently.
Did you learn early on that people could see the same exact situation completely differently?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How has that influenced the way?
Well, let me ask you, Jody, you want to grab it?
Yeah, Michael, I know you played football growing up, which is probably the ultimate team sport. You really have to trust that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be at the right time. How did that shape how you lead today?
Jody, we're only as strong as is our weakest link. I have partners and I have staff that I have to trust day in and day out that they're gonna do what they're responsible for. That's the only way the organization grows. And I'm not a micromanager. I have to trust that they're going to take care of what needs to get done to make us a better organization.
Cool. Andrew?
Yeah, thanks. Earlier in the green room, you talked about how you weren't necessarily a model student. When you bring on new employees, you know, who are fresh and they're trying to get up and running, how did your experience influence, you know, how you train folks and get them set up for success?
Andrew, one of the first conversations I had with any new employee, Brinker Simpson, is failure isn't a big red F. Failure is growth. Failure helps the organization as long as we learn from that failure. So do not be afraid to fail.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Michael, what do you get from mom and dad that you bring with you to work every day?
Discipline and authenticity. My dad was in the Marine Corps, went to Vietnam. My mom stayed home with four children. From humble beginnings from South Philly. Very authentic person.
Mm-hmm. Rory?
Michael, how young were you when you first started making money?
14 years old.
And what were you doing?
I was a busboy in an Italian restaurant in Wildwood Crest, New Jersey.
Interesting. Was there anything you did differently than the other busboys?
I try to work as many hours as possible, Rory, because I had a short window to make money.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Okay. So how does that help you in this taking on and working additional hours? How does that help you as the managing partner at Brinker Simpson?
As a managing partner, I have to set the tone on the work ethic within the organization. The employees see me slacking, they're going to slack. If they see me working hard, I think they're going to have a tendency to work hard as well.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
Sure. Yeah. Going back to your sisters, it sounds like growing up, you learned pretty early that different people see it and react to situations very differently. You started as an intern at Brinker Simpson. Did that ability to understand different personalities help you build relationships across the firm?
Absolutely. Jim, when I started, there was three of us. We now have 88 of us on the team, 80 different unique individuals that all have different strengths and all have different weaknesses.
Do you think that's part of the reason you stayed for over 30 years?
Absolutely.
That you really enjoyed the people and understood how to work with all kinds of personalities?
One of the reasons, plus when I was younger, we're never allowed to quit. And anything we did, we didn't have to do it the next year, but we're never allowed to quit. We built a great organization. I love being a part of it, and basically been part of it since day one.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Michael, you said you had a short window to make money in the summer. I think that's because of football practice, right?
That's correct. Started August 15th, ended it sometime in December. Took a very time-consuming activity.
Tell me specifically about the summer practices, because I'm guessing you were doing two-a-days out there in the brutal heat. What does it take to get through that? Like, where do you get the inner strength to go through that stuff?
I think it was the preparation beforehand, Matthew. You just can't show up. I did a lot of preseason workouts at the gym, a lot of running. So by the time we got to those two-a-days, mentally and physically, I was prepared to take that on.
That's fascinating. When you talk about mental and physical preparation and thinking through and envisioning what's coming, does that have anything to do with leading a business?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the toughest parts, in my opinion, of being a leader is being mentally strong to, you know, there's a lot of highs and there's probably a lot of lows. So in order to handle the highs and lows, the mental toughness is crucial.
How young were you when you learned that value of preparation and thinking ahead and envisioning?
15.
What are you talking about?
So going into, I attended Cardinal O'Hara back when I was there, was a powerhouse in football. And if you weren't ready day one, there's 50 other kids sitting there ready. So you had to be there day one, mentally sharp and physically ready to roll.
So you're saying the preparation needed just to make the football team is similar to the preparation that you're using in business?
Yes, sir. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Rory?
Yeah, Michael, you mentioned in the green room that you became managing partner at just 33 years old. So why was that the major pivot in your life?
So I became a partner at 33, managing partner 3 years ago. However, being a partner at 33, it taught me that the safety net was gone. I had to step up and lead. We had two children at that time. My wife wasn't working, and I was the sole source of income.
Where did that ability to kind of handle things under pressure come from?
I think it came from my father. He was a captain in the Marine Corps, left for Vietnam when my daughter was, or when my sister was a month old. You know, anytime you experience war, and he didn't talk about it much, but we shared some stories. I think that had definitely an impact on me.
Mm-hmm. And what do you bring from mom to work every day?
Authenticity. My mom is probably one of the simplest persons that I know. The greatest advice I was given her when I graduated from LaSalle University was, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice.
Wow. So you've got the discipline and the tenacity and the stick-to-itiveness and the get through it from your dad, and you got the nice from your mom. Am I reading that right?
That's correct, sir.
Uh-huh. So you've been with this accounting firm, you've been involved with building this accounting firm for how many years, and how many years further do you intend to be involved with it, and why? Most important, why?
So 32 years I've been with the firm, I'm 53 now, and I plan on working till I'm 65. We have a tremendous organization. What makes us really unique, Herb, is the young leadership that we have coming up. I'm just really excited to work with these young leaders. They're bringing new ideas, new energy to the firm, and it's the sky's the limit for Brinker Simpson.
So it sounds to me like you really get turned on by the working with the people you're working with, and as opposed to numbers specifically. Do you ever have any contact with any of the clients anymore?
I do. I have a good amount of contact with the clients. It's starting to lesson because, you know, of my managing partner duties, but absolutely still work with clients.
And what's the benefit of the fact that you love working with your people? What's the benefit of your love working with your team to your clients?
I think, especially in our industry, because there's so many accountants aging out, they know that even though I'm 53, there's a 45-year-old or a 40-year-old that could step into my shoes tomorrow and do just a good job or even better job than I'm doing.
So the fact that you really are focusing on your team, if you take care of your team takes care of your clients, is fundamentally the philosophy. What's the website address of this organization known as Brinker Simpson?
Sure. www.brinkersimpson.com.
We've been speaking with Michael Simpson, managing partner of Brinker Simpson, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Stick around. We'll be back in a moment right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
This is Herb Cohen, your host at executiveleadersradio.com. Regarding your career, if you're trying to figure out how to make the most money and also enjoy your career, that's enjoy your career, I mean really enjoy your career and make the most money, you ought to talk to our CEOs. They've got the bird's eye view of where the really profitable jobs are, where the really profitable jobs are going to be, and they're willing to speak with you regarding their vision for the future and where you may fit into it in order to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Email us, consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com to get help from our CEOs regarding where you may want to go in your career to make the most money and really enjoy your career. Consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
CarPro.com.
Jerry Reynolds of CarPro here, answering your automotive questions. There's a surge of used EVs hitting the market. What do buyers need to know? Well, buyers should know, I think used EVs are becoming one of the best values in the entire auto market today. That's because hundreds of thousands of low-mileage used EVs are coming off lease this year, driving down already lower late-model EV prices. Used EVs make a lot of sense as a commuter or second vehicle, but do your homework. Make sure an EV fits your needs and lifestyle. To get any of your automotive questions answered, go to carpro.com and sign up for the free weekly newsletter.
If you like getting the truth about the car business before you buy your next car, then you'll love the CarPro Show podcast. Just search for CarPro Show on the iHeart app, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The CarPro Show podcast.
If you served in the Vietnam, Gulf War, or post-9/11 eras, you may be eligible for expanded VA benefits. A new law, known as the PACT Act, provides disability compensation, health care, free toxic exposure screenings, and more to veterans who were exposed to toxins during their military service. You can submit a claim for your PACT Act-related benefits now. Claims received by August 10, 2023 may be paid back to August 10, 2022. Visit va.gov/PACT to learn more and file your claim.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Voter integrity raises its ugly head once again. Is Donald Trump's executive order likely to fix the trust issue? And will congressional inaction negatively impact the GOP in the midterms? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know Ryan Eddington, who's president and CEO of AllPhil. Ryan, what is AllPhil? What are you guys doing?
We're a manufacturer of packaging machinery in Chester County, Pennsylvania.
All right. You're about 140 employees. You mentioned your grandfather started the business. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? And where are you in the pecking order?
Yeah, I'm from here in Chester County. I'm the oldest of the four.
And 8 to 14, you mentioned that you played a bunch of sports, that your favorite subject was math, and that when you were a kid, that you started working in the business when you were young, sweeping the floor. And I had asked you in the green room, didn't that sort of stink because your friends are outside playing and you're working in the family business as a kid sweeping the floor? What was your response to that?
I loved every second of it, Herb. It was awesome to be around all the guys. I looked up to them. They really shaped me in a lot of ways, and it's awesome to work alongside them now and to lead them right now. It's really been a privilege. I never looked at it like it was a job.
Huh, about that. All right, Elizabeth, want to give me a hand getting to know Ryan, please?
Love to. So, Ryan, you literally grew up in the family business. Can you help us zero in on some of those early influences who shaped you who were not family?
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. It would mostly come through all my experiences with athletics, all of my coaches throughout high school and college. Sports was such a big thing for me. It was pretty much what I did. Never really had jobs growing up, but I always looked at sports like it was a job, leading to an opportunity to attend college on a scholarship.
Mm-hmm. And let's see here. Michael, want to give me a hand, please?
Yeah, so Ryan, you played baseball at a pretty high level in high school and college. So what did that teach you about playing as a team and leading a team?
Absolutely. It taught me to be there for everybody, right? To always be present in the moment and to lead by example. I think that's what I do best, lead by example, sort of get the team to follow, you know, my leadership role.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Ryan, you mentioned liking math when you were younger, and you also said that you were a poker player and a gambler. Are you a risk taker, and how has that shown up in your business today?
Yeah, absolutely. We work in a niche industry. So risk-taking is absolutely important for us to grow, right? If we don't, we're just going to stabilize. Absolutely. I wouldn't say gambling was more like an affinity for me, playing poker, gambling on sports, always a numbers guy. But yes, absolutely. You can coincide that with risk-taking.
Mm-hmm. Rory?
Yes, you mentioned your grandfather started the business. What did you learn from him?
I learned how to show up every day. My grandfather started our business pretty much bringing a simple machine that he manufactured throughout the Northeast in the back of the station wagon, right? So certainly it showed me how to show up every day and then sort of become whoever you have to be. Be a chameleon, right? So my grandfather was a machinist by trade. So watching him, you know, throughout my childhood too, grow up, teach himself how to do sales, teach himself how to do engineering along the way. Being a chameleon is so important in our industry. I learned all that from my grandfather. I mean, the definition of a hustler.
Mm-hmm. Julia.
Ryan, you mentioned that you worked alongside of the guys that you're managing today. Explain to us how you bridged that gap.
Yeah, first of all, but just by earning their trust, right? Again, in manufacturing, doing a lot of the grunt work, becoming friends with guys, then transitioning into a leader. It was just about showing up every day and showing that you're willing to do anything. And still to this day, not only myself, but me and my brothers, we're willing to do anything for the company, whether that's sitting on a very important, you know, project meeting call, leading the way there, or actually going on the shop floor. Getting dirty with the guys, proving that you know exactly what to do so they follow your lead.
Hmm. Jake.
Ryan, seems like family is really important to you. You're the oldest of four. You know, tell me how that dynamic is with the business and anybody in the business with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nothing's really changed since childhood. My younger brothers have always looked up to me. I work with two of them along with my cousin today. We're our best friends together. We trust each other. And together we understand that it's not about us. It's about the success of our family and our family business. So no egos. We check our egos at the door for sure. And we realize that the synergy that we have together running this company is absolutely crucial to everybody's success.
Michelle?
I want to go back to your baseball career. You mentioned playing at two different collegiate programs. First, I'd like to know why and how has that experience hurt or helped how you lead your company today?
Yeah, so we're talking about, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. Without the technology we have today, it was actually a blessing to go so far away for college and to, I'll say, fail. I mean, did I gain a lot of experiences? Yes, I did. But it was nice to sort of, you know, experience failure. at a pivotal point, I guess, and understand that relationships help you get out of a lot of your failures, right? So my relationships with my college coaches at the time helped me to transfer schools and to find a much better place where ultimately I found success, met my wife, and sort of kickstarted my career after that.
Mike?
Yeah, so Ryan, three-part question. So how have you gone about growing your business? What characteristic do you think you have that has allowed you to grow that business? And how young were you when you realized that you had that characteristic?
Yeah, great question, Mike. Thanks a lot. Yeah, we were going to grow our business internally through product developments. So basically, we'd offer more machinery to our customers. And then we actually went outside. We made five different acquisitions that allowed us to handle complete packaging line integration. So I sort of realized that about 3 years into working here at AllPhil. And then we continue to do that today, where we continue to take bigger risks, just expand the product line and give the people exactly what they're looking for.
You mentioned that your grandfather had been a major influence. Did you ever talk to your grandfather?
Do I ever talk? My grandfather's 96, still alive and well. It's so funny that I can still go to him for any advice that I need. He's still sharp as a tack. He's still really business, and he would be my first person that act with anything that I would need to discuss.
Ryan, when you took the business over, what size was it and what size is it now?
Yeah, so we probably had 60 employees when I came on, and we've more than doubled that and probably increased revenue by about 5x.
How do you think your grandfather feels about what you've done to his business?
You know, the best thing is he's my biggest supporter. He is me and my brother's biggest supporter. He loves every minute of it. He wants to know what we're doing. He cares about what we're doing, and he's our biggest fan.
Does he ever come into the office?
A really cool thing is he still does. He commutes 2 hours every Wednesday and brings the entire company bagels and donuts.
What? Why does he do that? Does anybody in the business bother with him when he comes visit?
They're so excited to see the founder walk through the door. It's an old school work ethic. He's never going to let it go. He wants to be part of it. And we're just lucky to have him still around at 96 doing stuff like that. It's really cool.
Sounds to me that you certainly have an ability to be who you need to be with a variety of people. How young were you when you developed that skill, and how did you develop that?
Yeah, early on in sports, I'd say around 10 years old is sort of when I developed those leadership skills. Like you said, be able to adapt to any situation.
How'd you go about developing that skill?
Really, I think I learned it from my parents. My parents gave me the confidence to do that. And of course, just the success, you know, successes and failures that you get from sports. That's what teaches you how to be resilient.
What was your favorite sport? What was your role in the team?
Yeah, so my favorite sport was probably football, but I ended up playing baseball in college. As an outfielder.
As an outfielder. So basically you were playing sports and you develop and you realize that you needed to be who you needed to be. So you learned about leaving your ego at the door and just doing the best you can, huh? What's the website address for this organization? There it is, AllPhil.
Yep, AllPhil spelled A-L-L-F-I-L-L, and you can reach us at allphil.com.
We've been speaking with Ryan Addington, President and CEO of AllPhil, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this quick break. Don't go anywhere.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket
The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. 800-425-1161. That's 800-425-1161.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
There are good extended warranty companies and there are bad ones. CarPro only endorses Chase.com. Chase only works with the top-rated extended warranty providers and lets you compare multiple companies all in one place. Save up to 40% on your quality extended warranty. Rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by Trustpilot and Consumer Affairs, Chase.com is CarPro endorsed. Go to Chaiz.com, discount code CarPro, and get $100 off any extended warranty. Chaiz.com.
What does life after service look like? Kicking back? Taking it easy? We believe it looks a little different. Fighting for all veterans. Making sure they get the benefits and care they've earned. Rebuilding communities after disaster strikes. And adapting to support today's veterans. Meeting them where they are. The VFW. Still leading. Still advancing. Still serving. Get involved at stillserving.org.
I checked Allstate first and saved hundreds on my car insurance. Really smart. Unfortunately, I didn't check if I took the gas hose out of my car's tank. Ooh, not smart. And I drove off while still attached to pump number 3.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Potential savings vary. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate North American Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Put all your gear on that you carry, and then roll around on the ground. Now get up. All your gear that's on the ground, that's what you're not going to have in a fight.
Gun Talk should be in your podcast feed. Check out Gun Talk Nation.
What's it like to be blown up?
You know, if it's like C4, it's almost like a smack.
Hunting. Yeah, we talk about that too.
On your crosshairs, I like a thin crosshair.
AJ, you're really dating yourself by calling things crosshairs.
Your reticle, whatever.
Have some fun and stay informed with the Gun Talk podcast.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. Let's get to know Andrew Berg, who's the managing partner of Berg Advisors. Andrew, what is Berg Advisors? What are you guys doing?
Yeah, we help clients with financial and structure issues and help them find their story and success.
Gotcha. Where you're from, how many brothers and sisters, and where are you in the pecking order?
Northeast Philadelphia, older sister, younger sister, I'm in the middle.
Gotcha. 8 to 14, what were you up to as a kid, 8 to 14 years old?
Playing out in the streets with friends, hockey, especially in the late 70s, science fiction, Star Wars, just trying to stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm. How many kids were in the neighborhood and what was your role with the kids in the neighborhood?
There were thousands of kids in our neighborhood around my age. And I was always trying to connect people and go outside and go play a sport or stay together and, you know, just have fun.
So you were organizing everybody and coming up with some ideas. What's organizing everybody and coming up with some ideas have to do with you being the managing partner of this thing called Berg Advisors?
Yeah, I think that I love people and I like people being together and I like finding out everybody's story. I like trying to bring people success and sharing. And for me, failure is not an option.
Gotcha. All right, Rory, you want to give me a hand getting to know Andrew, please?
Sure. Andrew, in the green room, you mentioned your father had you working at just 10 years old. What kind of work were you doing at that age, and what did that experience teach you?
I was delivering the bulletin back then, back when it existed. And so I had a newspaper out, and my father required me to go out and make money.
So when you look at your leadership today, how did those early lessons from your father still show up?
Yeah, I think that, as I said before, failure is not an option. To me, we got to find ways to continue to be successful, especially in a changing and adapting world.
Mm-hmm. Matthew?
Andrew, when you were 8, your family had an experience and a change that I think was a big part of your growing up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm a Jewish kid growing up in Northeast Philadelphia in a non-Jewish area. And at 8 years old, we had an incident that forced us to have to move. So I think the incident was kind of scarring to me. And then the move to a little bit safer neighborhood, for my mom was concerned, was kind of a big experience for me.
What does that move from an unsafe place to safety, to being able to hang out with the kids? What does that have to do with what you're doing now as the managing partner at Berg Advisors?
Yeah, I think because there was safety and I was outside a lot and we were always connecting and getting together, I think that now I realized that you could reach your branch out as far as you could possibly go in a safer neighborhood. And I feel like in business, we do it the exact same way. We've reached our branches out all over the world and feels very safe.
Jim?
Andrew, you told us growing up you were a big science fiction Star Wars fan, and you mentioned that you and the neighborhood kids were always role-playing, creating missions and adventures together. What was it about being part of those mission-driven groups that appealed to you so much as a kid?
I think it was just being authentic and having fun and getting away and experiencing something that was not in your normal day-to-day reality. And I think we got to know each other as friends so much better.
Today, you're leading a firm advising business owners. How do you see those childhood experiences showing up in the way you lead today?
Exact same thing. We want to know the client's story. It's imperative. We cannot help them with any of their success if they are not vulnerable, authentic, and share their story with us.
Andrew?
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. You mentioned how your dad was always pushing you and you were working a ton of different jobs to try to find your way. Can you tell us a little bit more about that experience?
Yeah, my father is a blue collar guy, worked with his hands, really, really brilliant at what he did. And I always watched what he was doing. I always paid attention, tried to have the same work ethic. And he wanted me to go out and go work and make money and learn that same work ethic. And I think growing up in the neighborhood where we moved to, I think there was probably a little bit less work ethic. And he wanted to make sure to bring that same blue collar work ethic with me that he's had his whole life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jody? You're working with business owners who, you know, are navigating challenges as well. When you think about that experience, how does it relate to the conversations you're having with those owners?
Yeah, I think that I can talk to anybody all the way down to the maintenance person, all the way up to the CEO, because I want to know their story. And I think everybody in reality wants to have fun, make more money and enjoy life. And for us, our goal is to figure out exactly how they got to where they are and help them move to the next step to be more successful.
Jody?
Andrew, you mentioned you really like to get to know their story. How old were you when you started to truly want to understand people as opposed to just on a superficial level?
I think in my late 20s, I became partner at a firm, and the managing partner was really good at talking to people. And I never realized what it was like to make good money. And I watched him be successful and I watched how he operated. And I realized that it wasn't about your technical skills as much as it was about the relationship. And I just learned to start asking questions.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
Andrew, you admitted that when you first got to college, you were having a little too much fun and your grades were heading in the wrong direction. Your girlfriend at the time, who later became your wife, stepped in and got you back on track. What did she see in you that you weren't seeing in yourself?
It's a great story. A great question. Sorry. I think she came from a stable family. College was paid for her. She was there and for the next step in her life. For me, I was trying to get away from where I was growing up and find myself. And I was looking to have fun. And I think she realized that I was a great person to be with and have fun, but she also realized that I was completely unstable. So she forced me to have to study and do homework and prepare for my classes and actually pass.
What was it about your future wife that gave her the ability to challenge you? And why did you listen?
I think she was really grew up in a way that she knew to ask the right questions and learn about who I was. And she knew deep down that I had some really great qualities and I was just a little lost at that time. And we weren't going to be able to be together if I didn't find a way to be more successful.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that 16 something happened. What happened and why was it so profound?
My father passed away when I was 16.
Yeah. Tell us more. What's up?
Well, my father was a big influence in my life. I learned from him. My formative years, he was always around. We were always outside playing sports, and or he was teaching me how to work with my hands, or he was just, and everybody else in my family was women, two sisters and a mother. So he was the, he was my, you know, my mentor, my friend, everything. And he got cancer and passed away when I was 16.
Sounds like a pretty frightening experience for you. Am I reading that right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, my mom was an amazing person. I think she kept it quiet what was really going on from the family. So I don't think I realized until it was bad how serious it was.
Mm-hmm. What's the best part? Matthew, please.
Tell me more about mom, because it sounds like she was actually the driving force of moving to the safe neighborhood, and she's keeping the family safe, feeling safe, at least when dad's sick. Tell me about mom.
Yeah, I don't know how she managed after my father passed on a secretary's salary to get three kids through college. I still don't know how she managed that financial burden, and somehow she did. She's extremely strong person, and she is the nicest person that I've ever met. Probably a little bit too nice.
So what's the most important quality from mom that you bring to you with work, that you bring with you to work every day?
Authenticity and humanity.
Tell me more.
Yeah, I think that everybody has a story, and nobody wants to be a failure. Nobody wants to get themselves into trouble. And I think when you know people's story, it's easier to help them. And I take on more responsibility from everybody that I just feel very responsible for people who trust me. So I take on that responsibility and that burden, and I want to help them become more successful.
What is the quality in you that makes people trust you?
Authenticity.
You want people that trust you. You want to deliver for them. How young were you when that began showing up?
I think when my father passed, I realized I needed to step up and be a man in the family, or at least that's what everybody around me told me I needed to be. I did not know what that meant until I met my current wife in college, who then told me I had to be serious. And then I started being more serious, and my mentor and work.
Sounds like you've certainly taken that on. It sounds to me that's who you are with Berg Advisors. What's a website address for Berg Advisors?
Sure. www.bergpartners.com.
We've been speaking with Andrew Berg, managing partner of Berg Advisors, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, back in a moment, right after this quick break.
This is Herb Cohen, your host of Executive Leaders Radio. And if you're a business consultant, if you consult to business owners, or to business owners' team members, then we'd like to speak with you, because we're getting requests from people all over the country, from entrepreneurs all over the country that are starting and building their businesses, where they're looking for help. And maybe we can help connect you. Why don't you email us at consult@executiveleadersradio.com. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com. And perhaps we can connect you to folks, to entrepreneurs and their team members all around the country that are looking for help. That's consult@executiveleadersradio.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
On a recent episode of Tech It Out, I caught up with Visa's Rob Cameron, Global Head of Acceptance Solutions, to talk about digital natives like Gen Z and how they're shaping the future of payments.
We talk about Gen Z didn't have to learn technology. They were literally born into it. And as a result, it makes them more open and accepting to new technology innovations we see. They're more trusting. And as this generation, which by the way, is going to represent about 27% of the workforce next year, starts to enter the economy, these fintech companies that create solutions for them are quite rightly racing to create solutions to engage them.
And Visa Acceptance Solutions is at the forefront of trusted digital payments. Build the future of payments with modular solutions, which you can learn more about at visaacceptance.com. That's visaacceptance.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute. This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman.
How we pay for goods and services online and at retail is evolving, fusing convenience with security. Visa's Mark Nelson, head of consumer payment products, says Visa recently announced 7 new and exciting technologies. Mark shared a couple with me here.
But we've introduced a flexible credential whereby a single card can be what you want it to be depending on the transaction type. We've also introduced this concept of a passkey, and it's all around how do we make payments safer and easier to use online. We also announced this thing called a data token, which allows the customer to get a little bit more control in terms of where they want to share their data. So if they want to share data with a third party, they can enable a better shopping experience all through AI. And it's a way in which the consumers can have a little bit more control over who they share their data with.
More info is at visa.com. That's simply visa.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute.
Veterans and active duty service members, when your call to service ends, your mission doesn't have to. Go from GI to IT in just a few months at My Computer Career. Prepare for a high-demand career in cybersecurity, protecting people, systems, and institutions from real cyber threats. Cyber warriors are needed now. Will you answer the call? Go to mycomputercareer.edu/CWP to learn more. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner. VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. Did you buy a timeshare because they told you it was a great investment? That's a lie. Most timeshares can be bought online for a dollar. To find out what your timeshare is worth and to cancel it, call us today and we'll send you our timeshare exit kit free with all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley for your free exit info guide. 800-296-6868. That's 800-296-6868.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. And let's get to know Joe Masiangelo, who happens to be the COO of an organization called Starlight. What is Starlight? What are you guys doing, Joe?
Starlight does lighting, audio, and video for live events, systems installs, casinos, performing arts centers, stadiums, things of that nature.
Gotcha. And how'd you get a job with this company?
I used to rent equipment from them when I was a kid, and I just kept calling and harassing them until they hired me.
Gotcha. Where are you from? How many brothers and sisters? Where are you in the pecking order?
I'm from Blackwood, New Jersey, South Jersey, outside of Philadelphia. I have a younger sister, 3 years younger than me, and an older half-brother, 9 years older than me.
Gotcha. Were you, what were you doing 8 to 14 years old? What kind of stuff were you doing 8 to 14?
A little bit of playing in the neighborhood with the kids, but a lot of playing in the band. I played an instrument in the band. I ended up helping my dad fix things around the house. And my big thing was that I joined a summer theater program and was building scenery and doing lighting and AV.
Gotcha. Andrew, want to give me a hand, please?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. So how old were you when you really kind of got AV into your blood? Like, what piqued your interest?
I was like 12, 13 years old, and I started doing that summer theater program. And I was like, what's this lighting about? What's this audio about?
Mm-hmm.
And what was it about it that really kind of drew you and kept you in the industry now for decades?
I like working behind the scenes and kind of being the glue that keeps things together, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Jody?
Joe, you grew up building, fixing things with your dad, theater, AV, so on. Now you're COO of Starlight. How does that early experience serve you today?
Listen, you're always encountering problems, right? Like never, things don't always go your way. So having to pivot and figure out how to work through something and find a solution quickly completely applies to what I do today.
Mm-hmm. Rory?
Yeah, Joe. So you mentioned early on you were in the band. So when you look back on that experience, what did music teach you about discipline, preparation, and playing your part within a larger group?
Being in the band is all about working together on a team. So practicing and working hard and doing something over and over again until you get it right.
And how does that show up for you in the way that you lead the business today?
Everything's about working on a team, right? So working with different people, different personalities, and figuring out how to get people to communicate with one another.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Jim, you want to give me a hand, please?
Sure. Joe, when you're building sets in high school, you didn't always have unlimited budgets or resources. What did those experiences teach you about creativity and problem solving?
You got to work with what you have and, figure out how to make it work.
That's what it sounds like. Between helping your dad fix things, playing in the band, and constructing scenery for productions, you always seem to be drawn to making things work, it sounds. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
How does that same instinct show up in the way you lead the organization today?
I think in my role, I have learned to do so many different things. I never thought that I was going to have to know what to do. And you just encounter a problem and you just have to learn how to do it, right? I know more about insurance and all kinds of other things I never thought that I wanted to know just because we encountered a problem, how to fix it.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're a builder and a systems thinker. Isn't that exactly what a COO is?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Matthew?
So you were busy as a kid fixing stuff with your dad. What's the most memorable project that you did with him? Why was it memorable and what'd you learn?
I remember when we changed the kitchen cabinets out and we pulled them out and tried to put the new ones in there. What we realized is nothing in the house is square and nothing really quite fit the way it was supposed to.
So what did you learn from that?
Problem solving, right? How are we going to make this work?
How did your dad react to that? There he is taking apart your mother's kitchen cabinets, probably pissing her off, and it doesn't line up. Like, what did he do and what did she do?
My dad is a very disciplined guy, but also a very, very calm and works through situations very methodically. So it was just like, okay, what are we going to do? Let's try this, put it in there, see, make it work, and move on.
And how do you keep that calm when it's not just the cabinets in the kitchen, but it's your business, your livelihood, on which your customers and your entire team are depending?
I think that experience, as well as the experience of working in the theater, all plays into that. You have to kind of say, this has to be done at this point, and we got to make a decision, and you can't get hung up on it, and realize that getting hung up on the emotions of it isn't going to solve the problem. You just got to focus on the problem at hand and move on.
And what was Mom actually doing while you guys were tearing the cabinets apart? Tell me about Mom. What do you get from her that you bring to work?
I think that she largely stayed out of the way when we were pulling the cabinets apart. But I think what I bring to business from my mom is that she's a very emotional, compassionate person, which helps me with dealing with people.
Wait. You're the guy who's doing the scenery behind the scenes, not dealing with the people, not out in front of the people. What are you talking about?
I mean, people are a part of everything that you do, right? So getting people to see each other's perspectives and work well together, work on a team, and then that compassion that goes into that is part of every organization, and that's really important.
So mm-hmm. I'm curious, when you're building the set, you're behind the scenes, you're doing all that, do you actually go out and watch the show?
Not sometimes.
But that's not like, you don't need to do that. Explain to me why you don't need to go out and see the show.
Because you've already done it. You're building it. You're keeping the glue together. You're the behind the scenes guy, right? Like I'm not there to get the recognition like the actors. I'm there to make sure that they look good.
Mm-hmm. Rory.
Yeah, Joe, in the green room, you mentioned that you changed your major 4 times in college. What were you searching for at that point in your life, and how did that process help you lead to where you are today?
Yeah, sure. So when I went to college, I wanted to go for technical theater. My parents were like, you got to go for something that's going to make you money. So I went for computer science. I didn't like that. I switched a couple other majors, communications, and then I ended up on business, not really sure what I was going to do with it. And I found a way, I found an internship in this industry, which let me to combine business with my interest in lighting and AV and theater and all that stuff, which is really how I ended up here.
So when you're working on sets, do you set up lighting and it works the first time, or do you have to tinker with it and continue changing?
Nothing ever works right the first time. You got to go up there, get on the ladder, fix it, change it, try to get it to be perfect and as best you can.
What does that say about your personality that you don't just settle?
You just got to keep working at something until you get it to be the way you want to, right? I'm very persistent.
Mm-hmm. And persistence has helped in business?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me that that experience you had as a young kid with theater really was the front door to your career nowadays?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And theater is really a wrap of a whole mess of different, a bunch of different interests. You really love diversity. You love integrating a ton of different stuff, including the whole art of managing people into who you are nowadays. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. It's all come together.
Uh-huh. So, but I guess the good thing about your job, because you're the COO, you get to work from 9 to 5. You don't have to work early or later or weekends or stuff like that, right?
Well, on a good day, yes, but it doesn't usually always work out that way.
Uh-huh. So your nature is really to put the pedal to the metal. It's really trying to get stuff to work. The team you've got, you mentioned you're about 50 people.
Yeah.
Any of them been there a long time?
So many of our employees have been with for a really long time. I've been with the company almost 22 years.
Why?
Just really enjoy what I do and doing it with the people that I do it with.
Uh-huh. Do you do a lot of traveling for your job?
I do not.
Uh-huh. And what geographic coverage is there for the facilities that you help?
Yes, our company is located in Morristown, South Jersey, but the majority of our clients and jobs are in the Philadelphia regional area. So, you know, Philly, Atlantic City, New York, but, you know, even some of our jobs will travel further than that to different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm. So an early indicator of who you are was with that AV stuff, but you also mentioned you were in a band. Yeah. What was your role in that band? What's that have to do with who you are now?
I played the trumpet in the band.
Yeah. Were you the one that was organizing the band or booking the band, or were you just going along with everybody?
I wasn't. At that point, I was just a guy playing the trumpet.
So this thing about you organizing everybody with these diverse interests, that emerged over the course of time, huh?
Yeah. When I first started working for this company, I was just a salesperson, and I started taking on more and more. You know, as you're a small company, it's like, well, the printer's broken, and all of a sudden you become the IT guy, and then this isn't working. And then I kind of just moved up, and then dealing with people and all of that just kind of wrapped into it as things went on.
Yeah, it was an evolution, just like what happened with you switching majors in college. You finally found what you wanted. And as Rory pointed out earlier, boy, you're persistent. What's the website address of this organization?
It's starlite.com, starlite.
We've been speaking with Joe Masiangelo here on Executive Leaders Radio, COO of Starlite. Matthew, could you give us a rundown of who we've had on the air today, please?
We started off today, Herb, with Michael Simpson, who's the managing partner of Brinker Simpson & Company. Then we had Ryan Eddington, the CEO of Allfill. We spoke with Andrew Berg, the managing partner of Berg Advisors. And just now we wrapped up the show with Joe Masiangelo, who's the COO of Starlite.
I would like to thank my co-hosts, including Roy O'Hara-Osperity, Jody Pillard-Weidenhammer, Andrew Plumley, Wisfus Bank, Matthew Shapiro-Obermeyer, and Jim Wilson-Newmark for giving me a hand structuring the questions I'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. Thank you for joining us today and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. Those who serve, save. Military families get exclusive savings with T-Mobile, America's best network, according to Ookla speed test. So you can stay connected wherever duty calls. Visit t-mobile.com/military-savings to learn more.
After serving in the Navy, Ms. Rivera turned to art to process her experiences. Now she teaches part-time, creating a quiet, safe space for students. One student painted only in dark colors for weeks. Ms. Rivera didn't correct it, she encouraged it. Over time, brighter colors appeared. Healing didn't come all at once, just a little more light each day. For more inspirational stories, just go to nationaldefensenetwork.com. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.